what are the most exciting European leagues at the moment. Northampton Town promoted after playoff final, Werder and Heidenheim promotion relegation battle, and our La Liga predictions. I am Matthijs, and with me is Rory. Welcome to episode 5 of the Dutch and Scots Sportscast.
Thank you for tuning in to our 5th episode. Hopefully you enjoyed the 4th podcast. We would normally aim to release one every Monday, however episode 4 was released a few days late. Now we're on schedule, so let's get right into it with some Corona news. Around the world, football news keeps on coming in. With Corona going on at the minute, it therefore is making Corona news to us. So in this Corona news segment, we'll take you through some of the most notable football news from the week. We're going to look at some of the leagues in a second, but firstly, there's a stat that I mentioned to Matthijs just before we started recording that I seen last night. Cristiano Ronaldo now has, and since records began, the second most assists. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's a very impressive record. Of course, before the documentation of all the records, it's hard to tell because players might have had way more, but the competitiveness and the way the game was played was much different.
If they were to go right back, I mean, of course, the likes of Cruyff, etc., his assists weren't, I know you don't like him, but his assists weren't counted, neither were many, many other great, you know, midfielders, attackers, etc., who would have loads and loads and loads of assists. Imagine the person who played behind Pele in Brazil while he was playing. Thousand goals.
Yeah, and there's many more examples we can get.
Yeah, so, but still, since it started recording, it's interesting to see Ronaldo second, especially because he's not really seen as a playmaker, is he?
Yeah, I was just thinking that because, like, he has this reputation of selfish player, and which is not always justified because, like, as you can tell, he's not, and he's just a very, very good player, and this just shows that he's way more than what people make him out to be.
I think number one is Messi. I'm not 100% sure, I need to Google it, but I'm pretty sure number one is Messi, so he's still behind Messi on that front, but he's still, you know, they are different players.
Yeah,
definitely. So it's interesting to see that.
I mean, especially, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Messi number one.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's insane. But considering Ronaldo's more of a striker, especially the last, like, 5-6 years, which I didn't realise was mainly down to a knee injury he got kind of when he was 29, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a knee injury. He's slow. I didn't realise that. Slowly declined him. And kind of, like, if you look at the stats, the types of goals he scores, he's consistently scoring the same amount of goals, but the types of goals are different. Like, there's a lot less dribble goals, a lot more headers and stuff. I always just assumed it was age, but it turns out it's all to do with this knee injury he's got.
Yeah, he kind of took a different role upon himself, and it suited him well, because, as well, he has the body to play anywhere in the field, but the striker position is, for him, being a very powerful player, very well suited.
Yeah. But we'll get right into it. So we're going to look at some of the most exciting ongoing leagues in Europe at the minute. And the first one is Liga NOS, of course, from Portugal, where it's quite close in contention for third and fourth place, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, again, also a very interesting league that sometimes gets overlooked. When it comes to the big leagues in Europe, there's this big five, and which, I mean, I don't know if I have to mention, but France, Italy, Spain, the English Premier League, and then the Bundesliga in Germany, and then not far behind, in my opinion, is the Portuguese Premier League.
There's a few that could come in behind that. I'd agree with that. The Portuguese league, Dutch league.
Yeah, there's a small resurgence happening now, in my opinion. Before, that statement would have made more sense than it does now. But no, I agree. It's not that far behind Portugal.
Yeah. But, I mean, looking at the Portuguese league, it's very contentious. It's anywhere between kind of 14th to 8th are all 7 points between them, and then above that, it's what, another 9 points between 3rd and 7th. So it's all to play for.
Yeah, it's very close almost everywhere in the table except for the top, which is an
Yeah.
unsurprising Porto and
Porto.
Benfica title battle.
Yeah, I think on the first episode we touched on that, and we both backed a horse. I can't remember who backed who though. Do you remember?
I went for Porto, so
You went for Porto, did you? Ah, okay.
yeah.
Yeah. Porto are 6 points ahead at the minute, so I probably backed the wrong horse.
So yeah, with four games to go, it seems like Porto are going to take the title in Portugal. The year before it was Benfica, so it's going to switch
Yeah.
hands.
Yeah.
And then for the
And
remaining like few, I mean, Porto are away to Tondela, who are 16th the next game. And
yeah.
then Benfica away at Famalicão, if I pronounce it correctly. But they're doing well, a recently promoted team who are currently in fifth.
Yeah. They're right up there with some of the kind of big names in Portugal, like Braga, etc., aren't they, at the minute?
Yeah, it's like a new one in the stable. I hadn't heard of them before this year.
Yeah.
I saw something about them at the start of the season when they were like doing exceptionally well, challenging for the first place.
Yeah.
But right now it's
There's
the
not
usual suspects.
Many kind of shocks in the league. It has all the big clubs at the top, apart from, Famalicão, which I cannot pronounce, of course. But the only ones that seem to be slipping near the bottom who are big names are Boavista and Maritimo, who's in 10th and 12th respectively. So a bit of a surprise. Boavista are quite historically a big club in Portugal, aren't they?
Yeah, they're only one of the only teams outside of the big three that have ever won a league title. I think it was the start of the 2000s, and they managed to shock the country and maybe even Europe by winning a league in Portugal. The Portuguese league is kind of similar in contrast with the Scottish league when it's pretty much no, well, in this case, three teams that take all the titles, and then there's very, very few other teams that manage to do it. And then Boavista is one of the most recent ones.
I'm pretty certain with the Boavista thing, did Jose Mourinho not have something to do with that? Was he not assistant manager or something at that
Yeah,
point?
I think he was there at the moment. Yeah, it's like one
At
of his
the time
first.
when they won it? Yeah,
It was
I
against
don't
his.
know why he's making me kind of flash some sort of something in my head saying that he was assistant manager or something at Boavista at the time. But yeah, the Portuguese league certainly looking interesting. Still would like to see Benfica top Porto, but don't see it happening. And yeah, beyond that, who do you think will, out of Sporting and Braga, Matthijs, third and fourth prediction, who comes third, who comes fourth?
I think it will be the way it is now, Sporting third, Braga fourth. Also because Sporting still have a game to play. They're on 29 and they're 2 points above Braga right now, so that
Yeah.
could become five,
And who's their
which
game in
with
hand
four games.
against?
Their game in hand, it is.
It's today at 9 o'clock against Moreirense. Probably pronounced
Mo
that awful. It's
Moreirense.
not exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of E's in there. That's all we need to know.
They're ninth, so yeah, should be doable.
The next league, which is certainly an interesting one, is the Turkish league at the minute.
Yeah, and the Turkish league seems to, I mean, it's going to end with a surprise winner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I can say that because, well, I can't say that because Galatasaray, Beşiktaş, and Fenerbahçe are respectively fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Which is massive.
Yeah, which I mean, if you know those teams, you think they are the main three in Turkey. And then the top two
Yep.
consists of Başakşehir and Trabzonspor. And with four games to go, Galatasaray and the Beşiktaş cannot really overtake them anymore, realistically.
Yeah, we joked about Istanbul and being the retirement home of Premier League players. They're filled with familiar names like Gael Clichy, etc. In their team, but up ahead by two at the minute, right enough. And Trabzonspor have got a few good players as well. They've got Guilherme, I'm pretty certain, on
Yeah,
right
they
mid.
have a very interesting team as well. More of a like Turkey in general is a country where many foreign players go.
Yeah.
And Trabzonspor used to have Daniel Sturridge not that long ago as well, if you
So they did.
remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And Sivasspor, actually, the ones that surprised me the most in that. I've heard a lot about Istanbul. So they played Europa League this year, didn't they?
They did.
Istanbul. And so I wasn't overly surprised to see them near the top. Trabzonspor have always been relatively near the top, not been like the top team, but they've always been kind of top six, at least in the last kind of 6, 7 years sort of thing.
Yeah, and
And then
it's a
Galatasaray
decent enough
beat
team.
us, actually, of course.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
Sivasspor, I know nothing about.
Sorry?
Sivasspor, I know nothing about.
I mean, honestly, I cannot tell you much either. I've heard of the name before,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like I don't know
I've
much more
heard the name,
about
I've
them.
seen the badge, but I couldn't tell you a player, for example.
Me neither. No, honestly, and I only know like for example about Trabzonspor is that they have quite a big fan base, but of recent have not really done much. But they have apparently. Six league titles in Turkey, which is not that bad, honestly.
They have, I mean, they do have some fairly well-known players. Alexander Sørloth, who used to play for Crystal Palace, a team that
Also
you
FC
like.
Groningen.
Yeah, he's playing there at the minute. Obviously, I mentioned Guilherme, who's Brazilian, I'm sure.
Yeah, he is.
And one you might know, I'm not going to try and pronounce the second name here. First name is Bilal, and then the second name's maybe. Başakşehir
Bilal
play for,
Başakşehoğlu. Yeah, he used to play
yeah,
at
play for
Feyenoord for a
Feyenoord.
while. Yeah.
So they do have a few relatively well-known players for their kind of level. Jose Sosa as well.
Yeah.
But so I'm not overly surprised to see them near the top. Just gonna look at the Sivasspor team, see if I recognise any of their players here. No.
Also,
Not sure I
like
do.
according to Transfermarkt.com, their value is like very low compared to all the other teams.
The only one I recognise is Aaron Acone. I remember him, he's at Wigan. I'm pretty
Ah,
certain.
Aruna Kone. Damn, that's
Yeah.
I remember him when I was growing up watching PSV.
Oh, really? Was it PSV?
Yeah. When he was young, he's 36 now. I didn't even know he was still playing.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he's currently at Sivasspor,
That's
who
actually
find
very cool.
themselves in. Yeah. There you go. Something new. Find ourselves in third. Don't know how he's performed for them, but yeah.
Wow.
Down the bottom of the table, it's equally as interesting. There's 5 points between 18th and 14th. Konyaspor are probably the biggest name in that relegation battle, I would say. From what?
I remember some of those teams by their logos, and their
Yeah.
names are. I mean, I think many of the people listening have seen the names of the Turkish teams.
Yeah.
They're quite quite difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite evil to get to have me lead the Turkish league. Explanation, Matthias, because I can barely pronounce
I'm sorry, but I'll try it
anything.
because apparently three teams get relegated from
Yeah.
the Super League, and currently on 18th position is Ankara Gücü. 17th
Oh, there
is
you go.
Kayserispor. And 16th is Çaykur Rizespor.
I see on the league I'm looking at, and it's just Rizespor, so it would be a bit easier.
Oh,
The
okay.
team in 12th, can you pronounce that one? I'm interested. Gençler
Birligi. No, wait, one more time. Gençler Birligi.
Jeez, what a name.
I'm pretty sure I've butchered it, but I've tried to do it phonetically.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's
Well.
I couldn't, I wouldn't know where to start with that. There's more accents than I've ever seen on that one. So the next league we're looking at is a league I'm a bit more familiar with, and it's a Swiss league.
Football Manager.
Yeah, Football Manager. I had a FM career with where I ended up FC Zurich for a few seasons. So kind of dislike them now because they sacked me. But we move, we move. That's probably my own fault.
Yeah, he still holds a
It's probably my
grudge.
own fault. Yeah, I hold them with a grudge against FC Zurich. But the league itself, surprising results in St Gallen,
Yeah, we
who are
talked
in the
about
top
it,
of the league by 2 points.
yeah, 5 weeks ago or something when we made our first podcast, and we were both in agreement that it might not last very long. But it has. They're still top of the league, so they must be doing something good. And there's only 10 teams in this league, but in total they play 36 games. And of recently, FC Basel were the ones who dominated them. And if I'm correct, they won the league like 10 years in a row. And then last year, or maybe even the year before, Young Boys managed to win the league again after quite a while. So yeah, and both St. Gallen and Young Boys are on course. Basel honestly are not far behind. 49 points for Basel in third, second Young Boys with 55 points, and St. Gallen on 57, all with 28 games played.
I mean, it's certainly as interesting. I mean, Young Boys have a lot of, they've been the last few years quite probably the biggest team,
Yeah.
or the most successful team, I should say. The last few years, they've produced some good players, and they've had a good few runs in the Europa League too. St. Gallen are surprised. Basel are probably historically the biggest team. I don't know the facts on that one, but just from my own football knowledge, Basel. I'm sure you would agree, are probably the most known one.
Yeah, also because of recent history indeed. The way they've performed in Europe, they've made them name for themselves with like especially the younger, like a newer football audience. I think like before it could have also been FC Zurich, Grasshoppers, who are not even in this league right now. So there's a few interesting ones.
Of course, you've got like the likes of FC Zurich, etc. What's interesting to look at is, even though I dislike them, between fourth and sixth, they're all tied on points, so anyone can get top four finish out the three of them between Servette, Lausanne, and FC Zurich.
Yeah.
Anyone could land a spot at in fourth place. At the bottom of the table, Neuchâtel Xanax. I'm pretty certain that's how you pronounce it. I couldn't tell you for sure. They were just recently, they were promoted last season, so it's unsurprising to see them at the bottom of the table. Have only won four games. However, being that they've only won four games, they're not that far off the bottom with Sion and Thun, only a few points ahead of them in ninth and eighth. So there's a lot to play for still in the league.
Yeah, both in the bottom and the top. It's quite tight, and then you have the middle area between seventh and fourth. Yeah, well, FC Lugano in seventh place are kind of in purgatory in between both.
They're probably the only team that are pretty solid where they are. I like 10-team leagues, talking very biasly in terms of that's what the league that my team Morton play in, a 10-team league. But I think it makes it a lot more competitive. anyone can. It's just it's like I think, and then they play each other. I imagine the same as in Scotland. They probably play each other four times.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so they've got another round of games to go. So, yeah, all to play for. Certainly a league to keep our eyes on. But
Definitely.
the next one we've got is the Danish league.
Yeah, the Danish Superligaen. That's the Danish way of saying it.
Is it?
I don't know. That's how they write it. I feel like I'm closer to
What? How do you
Danish than
pronounce it?
Dutch. Superligaen.
If you
Superligaen.
use an N at the end.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you don't have to actually.
Yeah, and the one that I've got here is just Superliga.
Both ways is fine. It's just a league in Denmark.
The top tier in Denmark. Yeah,
Yes,
put it
let's
that
just
way.
call it that. Which is not as exciting. With currently FC Midtjylland, I think I did well in the championship
Yeah.
group, being 14 points ahead of FC Copenhagen,
Yeah.
who are in second.
Yeah.
But then
And then below that it's Aarhus on 57 points. Brøndby, who are a pretty well-known team, in 48. Nordsjælland, I'm gonna say, in 45, and Aalborg. See, it's funny, I see these teams that pop up constantly on FM, on FIFA, and just general European football, and I'm looking at football stats, and I see them all the time. I never pronounce them. I never have to say them. So now I'm in a situation where I have to say them, and I'm realizing that how I say it in my head's very off how it's actually pronounced.
Mean the Danish and well also Scandinavian just
Yeah.
the names of some of these teams are crazy. And like I said, the first one I've just from hearing it and from hearing people say it that are actually, you know, commentators or just in football, like journalists. I know how to say it and I know that it's FC Midtjylland. But if you see it, like there's just all these letters the in the, I mean there is letter because it's a word, but I mean it just looks weird.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the Danish league's probably a lot easier to pronounce than the Turkish league. That was a bit mental.
Fair, fair enough.
But there
Yeah.
is a few difficult names in there. But anyway, back to the actual league itself. I generally quite like the Danish league. Whenever there's the odd game that's on Free Sports, etc., which is a channel over here where channel the sports free matters. They'll occasionally show Scandinavian football when Danish is quite good football. But the more interesting is that the bottom half of the table, where it's Jerk around 22 points and Silkeborg on 23 points.
Yeah, there's
Yeah.
many of those, like Esbjerg is quite a well-known team in my opinion, and
Yeah.
there's also this is a weird like system that they use in Denmark because they have the main like preliminary phase when I think there's 14 teams, and they play each other twice, so you get 26
Yeah.
games. And then you get the top six who play another 10 against each other. And then the bottom eight gets split into two groups.
Yeah.
And then they do a weird relegation playoff thingy. And it's a very interesting system. But now the two teams that are doing the worst are indeed Esbjerg and Silkeborg.
Yeah, it's similar in Scotland in terms of the split. We've got a system where it's there's 12 teams, and then there's a they play each other three times, and then they split the league in two, and then they have basically play each other again. And yeah, it's weird. They do it. I don't really understand why countries choose to split leagues. I think they should just stick with it, but it's the way it's done, really, isn't
It's just for excitement. It makes it
it?
more interesting that, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, but you know, you. I suppose. Imagine if they'd done that in every league, though. You would miss out on so many big games and stuff. Do you
I
know what I
mean,
mean?
I
Big
wouldn't want them
upsets.
to do it here in the Netherlands. But
Yeah.
I guess for some countries it just works, and it kind of minimizes the amount of pro teams that you have, because for some that's a problem with too many professional teams, and just the infrastructure gets a bit, too much. But in this case, I mean, there's no, I cannot really say anything of n or like of note about this relegation playoff, other than SBK and Silkeborg look like they're going to get relegated because they're both many points adrift from the teams above them, with, I suppose, 3 games to go.
At the bottom of the top half split, there's only 3 points splitting three teams between Aalborg, Nordsjælland, and Brøndby. So it's all to play for a top four finish there. So, I mean, I know I've heard a lot about Brøndby, I would say, are probably the biggest out of three. Maybe Nordsjælland.
Brøndby probably, because I know that they're very well,
Brøndby, yeah.
yeah, they're a very well supported team in Denmark. And I've watched videos of the Copenhagen Derby, because they're also like, Brøndby is, I think, in Copenhagen, but then like quite a separate area of it. But yeah, I mean, I know that
Well, interestingly, now in a league I'm quite excited for here because the English Championship is proving to be a very interesting finale
like always.
in England at the minute, where Leeds find ourselves at the top currently, closely followed by West Brom, they're on a point behind them, and surprising third place in Brentford.
Yeah, a team that's really developed over the last few years.
Below that in the promotion kind of playoff spots, yeah, Fulham in fourth, Nottingham Forest in fifth, Cardiff in sixth, and then fighting to try and get a place in the playoff is Derby, Swansea, Millwall, and Preston. The team I'm probably most surprised to see where they are is Derby. At the start of the season, I thought they were going to really. I mean, they hired Philippe Cuckoo.
Yeah, Phil
I thought
Cuckoo,
they were going to. I thought good manager, good team. I got Wayne Rooney, etc. I think they would challenge for automatic promotion. But now, seven. So they find themselves at the minute. Of course, they are 3 points off the playoff position. So hopefully, they do manage to find a way in. But yeah, what's your thoughts on the current promotion fight in the English Championship?
Yeah, I know for example that Derby have climbed a lot, like a lot of places in the last few weeks, and then are now with Brentford being a very interesting addition to this group, who are going to move into this new stadium. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. And then you have teams like Fulham and Nottingham Forest, very historic. And I'm just like hoping that Leeds can finally do it.
I don't know why, I'm just not a big fan of Leeds.
I mean, I know that many people over there like share that opinion. They're kind of like a meme as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean they've fallen in some hard times, and you have to. But the thing is they were a really big club. So the thing that they've got at the minute, they were a really big club. They still are a big club, but they were a really big club. And now they're in hard times. Their fans have still got the really big club mentality. So on Twitter, etc., it's all of this, Leeds are a massive club and stuff, and it does. And it's always us. I know you've probably heard me rant about it before, but Scottish football fans get very riled up because Scottish football's always getting slagged. We'll slag and hate each other in Scotland in football terms. But the minute another outsider tries to slag Scottish football as a whole, we all team up against them. But and Leeds fans, I don't know why, but every single time any of these kick up, one of the people that do that they are slagging Scottish football is a Leeds fan. That's very annoying. The current thing is that they're going after Odson Edward, who is Celtic striker, very very good striker. Used to play for PSG, but moved to Celtic, and Leeds are supposedly after him. And Celtic fans don't want him to go, etc. But he could play for a much bigger club than Leeds. He could easily play top 10 in England. So there's a lot of debate there about that one. But it's good to see them at the top again, as you said, in terms of getting the actual big clubs in. Seeing them replace Bournemouth would be quite nice.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, Bournemouth are like an all right team, but I would much rather see Leeds.
Yeah, I mean Bournemouth. You're I know yourself. You're a very you like your kind of traditional big clubs, and you're not a big fan of clubs who get to where they are for the money, like Leipzig and PSG, etc. Am I right?
For example, yeah.
Yeah, Bournemouth are one of them to me.
Yeah,
They're
I
a bit.
mean, when they're in League
I mean,
Two,
their
right?
stadium's smaller than Wolves in capacity.
Yeah.
Capello, where Morton play, can hold more fans in Bournemouth Vitality Stadium. So, you know, they're not huge. They've spent. I'm pretty sure I've seen a stat where they've spent. Who is it? They've spent more than. Was it Man City or something in the last 5 years?
Them.
They've spent like something like 150 million in the last 3 seasons or something, which is some of the big top six clubs and stuff. So,
Yeah, true, but
yeah,
like on the
they're a
other
bit.
hand, like all the teams in the Premier League are crazy spenders.
They are, but at least some of them have your likes of Chelsea fell 40,000 a week.
Yeah.
Same goes the likes to Man
And
U
so
fill
will
their
Leeds.
stadium. Yeah, so will Leeds, yeah, but Bournemouth don't have that. Leeds, I'll admit, Leeds, West Brom, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Cardiff, all bigger clubs than Bournemouth and should be up there. Going right down that table, in fact, I'd say every single club in that top 10 are bigger than Bournemouth, even Brentford.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree. I think
It'd be
for
good to
the
see someone replace him.
Yeah, and I mean, for the sake of Dutch pride and PSV, of course, I want to see Derby
Yeah,
perform well.
be nice to see. I mean, I'm kind of opposing you on that one because I would really like, I know it's not looking likely for Preston to make it back up there. I've got a Scottish manager, and family ties would make me want Preston in the top. But yeah, Preston up there. I would like to see Millwall get promoted. I prefer West Ham, but I would like to see that derby in the Premier League again.
I think it would be quite cool if Millwall were to get promoted to the Premier League. I have no clear preference for either Millwall or West Ham, so
Yeah,
I think it would be
I
fun.
prefer West Ham, but the derby itself would be incredible.
Yeah.
I've got a soft spot for Fulham for some reason, so I wouldn't mind them coming back up. Same goes Nottingham Forest, so we'll have to see. I wouldn't complain to any of them, though. The only one I wouldn't really like is Leeds, but there's no storm that one, so
But that's probably the most likely one
the
to happen. But
yeah, Leeds
in
are most
very,
likely to go up.
yeah, but in Leeds fashion and tradition, it will be quite interesting if they manage to bottle this one.
Yeah, I mean they've got a good manager at the helm. Beasley is good. They've got some good players. Calvin Phillips is notable. What was the Augustin? Is that the boy's name? He used to play for Leipzig.
Yeah,
Am I
Kenny
right to
Augustin.
say? Yeah, there's a current ongoing situation with him where there's some sort of payment that they have to make. I think it was 21 million I read or something like that, but Leeds don't want to pay it if
All
they
right.
get promoted. I don't know how prolific he is. I don't know if he's even been starting for Leeds.
I'm honestly not quite sure. But I know that he was a very interesting talent.
He was a big player, and it was a big sign at the time. But I may be wrong in saying this, but I've not. I mean, I certainly haven't heard much about him since he kind of He went. They do have some big players. I mean, Kiko Casilla used
Yeah.
to play for Real Madrid.
Yeah, for sure. That one is like one of
So
the most, well known and interesting names there.
yeah, it's quite weird to see him play. Obviously, Patrick Bamford, he's been big for them. Calvin Phillips also been big for them.
Yeah.
They have Pablo Hernandez. But yeah, it would be again. I know I don't like them, but big club coming up. It's always good to see.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think they, I mean, it's kind of where Leeds should be. I don't know like when the last time was that they were playing on the top flight, but I know it's quite a while ago.
Yeah, let me just update on the Augustine thing. He's played three games and not scored
Okay.
for Leeds. So 21 million is a lot to pay for three games.
Yeah, it's also crazy to me that a
So
team in the championship can play can pay 21 million for one single player.
I don't know, it's crazy money. But we'll move on to the next team, the next league, sorry, which is the La Liga. The top 10's interesting at the minute, but mainly the top two. Real find ourselves pulling away a little bit, 4 points ahead of their counterparts at the top, Barcelona, who are falling apart a little bit.
Yeah,
Thoughts?
recently, yeah.
Yeah, they're not a fan of their owner. That's what I've gathered from all what's been going on. Messi's unhappy. He said that he's for the first time in a while he's rejected to renew his contract, which is quite big for Barcelona standards because he's unhappy with the owner, basically. So we'll see how that develops. I can't see him leaving.
I mean,
I can see them kicking the owner, and then the owner leaving, Messi leaves.
yeah,
But
that's what I was
Barcelona have done
thinking.
stuff like that before. Remember how so you? Yeah, they're like Cruyff. Cruyff wasn't happy. Made it. The owner got kicked out.
Yeah.
They're not adverse as a club historically to chuck out their biggest. I mean, I know you'd like him, but Barcelona owe a hell of a lot to Johan Cruyff, and they basically dragged him out as a manager at one point, kicking and screaming.
I know.
So, I could see. It's hard to tell because it's hard to tell what happened there, but clearly there's a lot of unhappiness and uncertainty at the minute at Barcelona. So
You can tell because,
the one yesterday, and they changed the formation for it, which allowed them to play Suarez, Messi, and Griezmann, and it worked really well. They won 4-1, I believe. So we'll see what happens with that one, but it looks like another Madrid title.
seems like it, yeah. It's like at least like I mean last game against Villarreal, they changed it up and like they've struggled against teams way down in the table and Villarreal are still fifth.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, so it's more kind of what's going to happen in the future of Barcelona. They obviously recently sold Arthur to Juventus, and in return they got Pjanic, which makes a team very old.
Yeah, I don't
Pjanic
get
is,
it. I don't get that
yeah,
signing at all. The trade. I mean,
it's not
Pjanic is a good
like
player,
they.
but you know.
Yeah, he's a good player. It's not like Barcelona, they don't. It's not like they don't have good youth players. They've got, you know, Puig, Ansu Fati. But their team overall isn't young, so why add another 30-plus-year-old to it
Yeah,
and
same.
sell a 23-year-old?
Yeah, you get like the likes of Arturo Vidal, Ivan Rakitic, and Busquets on the midfield, like all very notable names, but aging. And then they had a bright, young, very good midfielder in Arthur, and they let him go. And I mean, I don't really get this whole exchange.
The whole core of the team's aging. I mean, Suarez is in his 30s, Messi's in his 30s, Busquets, as you said, Rakitic, as you said,
Yeah, and also
Vidal.
Griezmann is getting
Yeah,
older.
Griezmann's
He's
late
29.
20s. Yeah.
So.
Piqué is in his 30s. Alba is in his 30s. So they really are needing to bring in some youth. They're selling probably one of the our future stars.
Yeah, and then
Doesn't really
think
make
of
any sense.
who is next in line in this team. Because you have these clear, like, dominant figures in the squad, but then who is behind him? Who is next?
Yeah.
Like, then you get
Well, that's
the
obviously
Frankie de Jong, of course,
the
but
well, we of course I've forgot to mention Frankie de Jong. Of course
mm-hmm.
he's very good, but the Masia, obviously the Barcelona Youth Academy, they haven't been producing like they did. They had obviously the golden generation that came through kind of late noughties, which obviously we all know about Messi, etc.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit worried for what's going to happen to Barcelona post Messi, because they have kind of a lot of the values, etc., that kind of pushed through the likes of Messi have kind of left the club, from what I can see from an outsider's perspective. And a lot of it was driven by Cruyff, etc. So maybe his death had something to do with it. But the whole kind of the Cruyff era of Barcelona, which obviously lasts on right through to Messi, etc., coming through, seems to be wearing off. And I don't know where they're going to go from here, because they might, struggle for a few years now.
Yeah, but I've always got Martin Braithwaite, you know.
Of course, Martin Braithwaite, they're going to
No, but
run the
like,
world with Martin Braithwaite.
yeah, I know, but for example, with Ousmane Dembele, who's injured, Frenkie de Jong, who's injured, they have two very bright young players,
They do.
but
But that's
yeah.
the thing though, is with Barcelona, is they're buying in a lot of youth, which a lot of youth prospects, which wasn't really their thing. They created the youth prospects, and now they're buying them in, and they're coming in like Dembele came in, he didn't hit the ground running, and he was kind of left to the sideline a bit because of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're gonna do, but it's like with Madrid, they've always had one game plan. They buy the biggest, the best, and it works for them. And they're not going to change from that. They'll continue to do that, obviously, though. But I would say Madrid's crop of youngsters at the minute are probably better than Barcelona's.
I think so too, yeah, definitely. Because you have for me that the name that stands out the most is Ansu
Yeah.
Fati, who I know from Football Manager. Like that, he turns into a very, very good player. Like, but he's like the only one
I
of
mean,
like that's notable here, because they have some other young players from their academy.
they got Ray Puig as well
Yeah.
coming through, but yeah, I agree. They really need to sort something out. Maybe Messi's right. Maybe it is the owner that needs changing. With Barcelona, it does seem politics has always had a lot to do with FC Barcelona, so maybe it's
Yeah,
just going
yeah.
to crumble for a bit, but it seems exactly what Atletico Madrid need.
Yes, true.
Barcelona crumble, and then Atletico can kind of push in a bit. But yeah, Atletico find themselves in third on 62 points. No way they're catching Barcelona. They are below them by 5 points is Sevilla, another big club there. Again, below by three, Villarreal. And 53 points we have Getafe, 50 points we have Real Sociedad, 48 points we've got Atletico Bilbao, and then joint on 47 we have Valencia, which is quite surprising seeing them down in ninth, and Granada in 10th.
Yeah, so it's I mean,
It's tight.
it is very tight. Like when you go down from third place to 10th,
Yeah.
I mean there's still a 19-point difference between them. Well, no, there's not. I cannot count. There's a
There's
fifteen
a
point
15 point, yeah.
15-point difference between them. So it's still like
It's not
anything can happen.
huge. Yeah, it's not a huge difference between them, so
I mean, I'm saying anything can happen. It's four games, so there's no space to make up 15 points. But still, teams in
well,
10th can
12
go
points can
uphill.
still make a huge impact.
Yeah.
So we'll need to see, but it's looking interesting, and Barcelona is certainly a club to keep your eye on. as things continue.
Yeah, I think it could be a very interesting development for them in the near future because they seem to be struggling, and I just hope for their sake that they can turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, they need to. I mean, they seem to change managers constantly. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, I just looked at their manager and I have absolutely no clue who the guy is.
They
So,
change it all the time. It's crazy. They need to kind of settle on one.
yeah.
I think it's as well a case of Messi's bigger than the manager. No matter who the manager is, if the manager gets unhappy, it's up to Messi. If Messi, so I think that a lot of managers probably struggle with that. But they do need to find one, maybe Pochettino, to take over and
That's a good shout, in my opinion.
really work at and just stay at them for a while. That's what they kind of need.
Yeah, give them some time as well.
Yeah, definitely. The bottom half of the table looking equally as interesting. The bottom three are pretty set in stone here. In fact, they are set in stone. With four games remaining, Mallorca find ourselves in 18 points and they're trailing by 9 at the minute. So maybe it's not set in stone, but Eibar do have a game in hand. Who are in 17th. And then 19th, they got Leganés. And 20th, you've got Espanyol. So the city of Barcelona aren't having a good time at the minute.
Yeah, Espanyol can get relegated against Barcelona in the next game.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
So the derby is going to make out who is going to get relegated, or what, or if they are already going to get relegated, because it's pretty certain that they will go down. And
Can they catch? Yeah, they can. They're within a point of catching. Well, they can catch 17th, 16th, and 15th are on tied points, and 15th, 15th, 16th, 17th are all on tied points. And if any of them were to lose all their games and Espanyol were to win the rest of their games, they could beat them by a point. Chances of that happening, though, are very slim.
Mathematically they can survive, but I mean we all know that's not going to happen. So their faith can be sealed by their city rivals on the weekend. And if I had to predict, I'm pretty certain that it will be.
Other notable teams down in the bottom half. Alaves, big club, 15th place. Bit of a sleeping giant themselves. Real Betis, 14th place. Another big club quite far down. And Celta Vigo, 16th place.
And then, I mean, the others, Real Valladolid, 13th, Levante, 12th, so Osasuna, 11th. A bit of more unknown teams that you'd expect to be on this end of the table.
So it's all to play for there and it's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, but if we'd had to predict, I think we're both going for Real Madrid
Real
league
Madrid
title
to
win.
win. Real Madrid to win in Espanyol, Leganés and Mallorca to go down.
I agree.
So again, like normal, we're going to both speak about sleeping giant in the world of football in our club highlight section. So for me, mine's isn't quite as obscure as we tend to go for, but they're still relatively obscure, I would say. They're not someone that kind of comes to mind straight away. But if I were to ask you, Matthias, who are the biggest French club, what would you say?
I mean, currently PSG, but I know for a fact that Lyon, Lille, Saint-Étienne, Bordeaux have all had Reims have all had big spells in the French top flight and have won many titles.
Yeah, well, you mentioned my sleeping giant there, the most successful domestic team in France is Saint-Étienne, 10 titles. They're only ahead by one at the minute, so PSG, you're going to catch them. But they are currently the domestic, the most successful domestic club. They've also won six Coupe de France, And they've come runners up in the European Cup in 75-76. Where'd they go wrong though? A lot. They're not very well known as one of the big clubs. They are a well known club, but I wouldn't say they're well known as being one of the top clubs in France, probably. A few relegations have kind of got them in the last like 20 odd years, having to win League Two a few times, including 2003, 2004. And they currently find themselves in 65th rank in the UEFA coefficient, which is 2 places ahead of Leicester City. Interesting enough.
All right. Yeah.
Just so that's the kind of level they're at now. For being the most successful club in France, they find themselves on par European wise with Leicester City. So yeah, Saint-Étienne, obviously they find themselves, they're from the south of France. They're founded in 1933. They play at the Stade Geoffroy Guichard, and they are PSV's bogey team.
I mean, I've talked about Saint-Étienne with my dad before,
Yeah.
and he's told me about the animosity that many older PSV supporters have towards Saint-Étienne.
I mean, well, as I said, kind of, 70s, 60s era, Saint-Étienne were a huge club. And obviously, I mean, this year the final here was in 17th place. It's a bit of a fall from grace, isn't it? When you consider that.
I mean, I know they're still a massive club there. Like, they have many supporters and a massive stadium.
They do, they have, but that seems to be the kind of, with a lot of these sleeping giants, they still have huge stadium, huge followings, but they're not winning anything. They come in 17th. They're not big anymore. At the minute, they've had players in their books like Michael Platini back in the day, and in the last 20 years, they've got nothing to show for it apart from a League Two title.
It's quite sad.
Exactly. So, my sleeping giant this week was Saint-Étienne, the sleeping giant of France, the biggest club domestically in France.
A
That's Saint-Étienne.
very interesting team in my opinion, and like you said, a very nice team to learn about.
Yeah, Levert is a nickname. So we'll move on to yours, guys.
Yeah, and for mine, we are going to a giant in their own country, but not a giant in the country they play football in.
Oh.
I'm talking about FC Vaduz,
Okay.
which is a team from Liechtenstein. Who doesn't know them? And playing in Switzerland. Which is
Ah, okay.
an interesting construction because this team were found in 1932 and play in the city of Vaduz, and Vaduz is the capital of Liechtenstein. But Liechtenstein have about 50,000 people,
Ah.
maybe even less. So you cannot really call them a powerhouse in politics nor in football, especially not in football. They have a few teams playing, but all of their teams play in the Swiss leagues. And the only one of note is FC Vaduz, who currently find themselves in the Challenge League, which is the second tier of Swiss football. But for most of their history, most of their recent history especially, have played in the highest league of Switzerland and have performed reasonably well. Another interesting thing to note is that all the teams from Liechtenstein still play in a Liechtenstein-only cup competition, which, according to Transfermarkt, is just called the Liechtenstein Cup. But I'm sure they've found more creative names for it in the past. This cup has been won by FC Vaduz 47 times,
So they are really are the biggest club from the area.
Which unsurprisingly is a record. The next few teams that are close are USV Schönmarn, which are a team like that playing a few leagues below, but also in Switzerland. And Vaduz have a very notable history in Swiss football currently, but don't really have the support and the infrastructure to show for it, because like the stadium that they play at is the Liechtenstein National Stadium, but they don't really get the crowds going to them. And another interesting thing about this Liechtenstein Cup is that the team that wins it goes into the preliminary rounds of the Europa League. So if you want to play for a team where you're pretty much guaranteed European football, whatever the level you play at, go to Vaduz.
Clearly, yeah. So they get into that. How many teams compete again?
It's about like they start with just over 12 teams because there's not many,
12 teams.
yeah, there's not many teams in Liechtenstein that are eligible. You know, you probably have like a few pub teams as well, who play, but they're not eligible to play in this cup. And then you get the likes of FC Vaduz, who are a professional team with a professional club infrastructure, and also the biggest, probably some of the biggest players from Liechtenstein. And it's quite an interesting team. If you flick through their squad, they have a few players from Liechtenstein, not that many, but also this guy Justin Osbelt, who is probably the person with the most interesting nationality combination I've ever seen. He has a
This is
dual
coming
Liechtenstein and Bahamas citizenship.
in.
I don't know how that one works, but yeah, it's quite an interesting one. And
Yeah.
then yeah, for the others, many players from Switzerland, unsurprisingly.
Must be a hard commute away day, that one.
Yeah, I mean, if you live on the other side of Switzerland, but like Switzerland is not that big, and Liechtenstein is about the size of a
Liechtenstein's quite
relatively big
difficult to get
city.
into, is it not?
Nah, it's in the like Liechtenstein and Switzerland especially, both of them have like very good relations.
Ah, okay.
And Liechtenstein use the same currency as Switzerland. It's not the euro, but the Swiss franc, and they have open borders together, so I mean, yeah,
Okay,
it's very easy
that
to.
makes okay. That changes that then.
But they're currently 10 points adrift from Lausanne Sport, who are in first place, and 5 points away from Grasshoppers, who are probably one of the most notable teams in Switzerland.
Yeah.
First and second place grant you promotion and promotion playoff. So with 8 games to go, they still have a chance to get back to the top flight of Switzerland.
And that would be pretty huge.
For them, yeah, because you
Yeah.
know, money wise, I mean, of course, it would be better to play in the highest division.
Oh, well, that was a different sleeping giant. Certainly an
Yeah,
obscure one.
it is more an obscure giant than a than the sleeping giant, because they're not really sleeping in Liechtenstein, but I would say they're sleeping in Switzerland.
They could be higher in Switzerland.
Yeah, for sure, they could, you know. It's kind of like with Monaco in France, if you'd have to compare it. But
Or
Vaduz, they're
Berwick
not
Rangers in
as.
Scotland. An
Your
English
words,
club.
your words.
Monaco, Berwick Rangers, what's the difference?
Oh, Berwick Rangers.
Yeah, what did I say?
Oh, what you were talking about, the Glasgow Rangers.
No, Berwick Rangers are an English club who play in Scotland.
Okay, never mind. That's yes, I agree.
I understand the confusion though, obviously. Rangers.
Thought you were going for a very outlandish statement there.
No. Well, if you made it all the way here, thank you very much for listening to our fifth podcast. We are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Anchor FM. If you can, please leave us a rating and tell us what you think.
Furthermore, online, we are available on the following social media: Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Give us a like or a follow if you want. And here we will announce a new podcast episode once it comes out.
We really hope you enjoyed our fifth episode. If you did, hopefully you'll return again next week.
And have a great week, and we'll be back again soon.
See ya.